This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Welcome to another episode of the Blue Crew, a New York Rangers podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. I'm your host, Johnny Lazarus, alongside my good friends, Cody Frankel and Avery Zaretsky. The Rangers swept. I was going to say sweep, but then I was like, swept. The Rangers swept, and there was never a concern. You know, it's so like anticlimactic. Like, you know,
Avery and I were talking before,
and it was like, this isn't like a series where we weren't invested, but it's like, dude, was hard to feel the actual nerves. I don't know.
I'm kind of going to come at Avery a little bit here because every time I brought up Carolina, Avery was like, focus on this series. We haven't won yet.
Well, he has a point.
No, he doesn't have a point because I'm thinking about the big picture.
Yeah, but you got to stay present and enjoy every little moment.
Yeah, you still got to win the game.
I enjoyed whooping that Caps ass, dude.
I know, but there. First of all,
I'm just messing with you, bro. Yeah, I love you.
You know, there's not even a point to get into it. So
no, but yeah. Sometimes I get what Cody's saying too, though, because sometimes Avery can be like, "Dude, just focus on the now." Like,
yeah, very, you're
sometimes cliche. Sometimes cliche.
I'm just saying, take one day at a fucking time, man. Yeah, like live your life.
Whether you were stressed or not, series is over. It's behind us. The Rangers were off on Monday, which is today. They're going to be off on Tuesday, which is tomorrow. They're going to practice for the first time Wednesday, hoping to get there so we can get some more like comments and stuff from how they feel about the series and everything. The Islanders and Canes play their game 5 on Tuesday night. So tonight, probably as you're listening. So we still don't know who we're playing, but
I have a question for you guys.
What?
So would you prefer the Islanders to win tomorrow night, or would you prefer the Canes to just finish it? And let me tell you what I think, and then I want to hear what you guys think. So one way or another, right, the Rangers are probably not playing before Friday, Saturday, the earliest. And I'm just thinking from the lens of like, realistically, Islanders fans, there's 0% chance you're winning 3 games in a row. It's just not happening. I would almost rather But I would rather I think the Canes just win in 5 because I don't want the Rangers to have too long of a layoff and get some form of rot. Like, I need them to play like in the competitive mindset, and I feel like them being off this whole week going into the weekend to play game 1, I think is the perfect amount for them to reset and get going. And I'm very nervous that somehow the Islanders squeak another game or two, and then it goes into next week, and it's just a long layoff.
So I actually have a thought on that, which I didn't really have a thought prior to you saying that. And where there typically would be concerned, this Ranger team, when you think about it, after every layoff or every break, they've come out firing. Early part of the season, you know, their record at the start, you know, I don't have the exact number in front of me, but, you know, one of the better teams in the NHL in the first like 5 to 10 games, All-Star break, they come out. I think they won, what, 8 straight after All-Star? Then this little gap into the first round, they sweep. Like, this team knows how to ramp it up. And I think a lot of that is because Laviolette. So this whole rest versus rust thing, you know, maybe the first period of game one, they would look a little bit, you know, not out of place, but, you know, maybe the timing is a little bit off. It would take them a little bit to settle in, but I don't think it's a real issue of like them buying in. Like, this team's bought in. I really have no concern about the Rangers showing up to game one and looking totally lost. And I think, you know, I wouldn't have thought of that until you brought it up, to be honest, but I think there's something to be said about them going through it already in the regular season and having to ramp it up now.
The Rangers have gone our entire lives without rest in the playoffs and haven't won shit.
Yeah.
So let's let them have their rest. Let's let them have their time. Let's let the Carolina Hurricanes and the Islanders beat the piss out of each other. Let's let them go buck wild, take as long as they want. I don't care. The Rangers need their rest. Let them, you know, do their thing. They're practicing hard still. You practice like you play. I have no concern about the rest, and I don't think anyone else should either.
Also, I'm the biggest Islander fan on the planet right now. I'm the biggest Islander fan on the planet right now. I'm rooting for them to win every game. I'm rooting for them to win the series.
Yeah, well, no shit. I mean, obviously.
No, I don't think everyone feels that way.
I mean, dude, if the Islanders could win another three games, I want them to win another three games. The problem is,
I'm sure there are people who are like, dude, the Islanders come back in the series, then we have to play them after a week off. Like, I don't want that.
You're out of your mind. I would take playing the Islanders after a month off before I would take playing the Hurricanes.
Also, think about the extra time, what it does for a guy like Filipino. It's a conversation that, you know,
that was, I had a question for you guys. So
yeah, a lot of questions for us today.
You like that?
Yeah,
so somebody's got to bring the squad up. So
you did, you actually did. I was so exhausted and you brought my energy up. Well done.
All right. So, right. So what you said, Hedl, every day counts at this point, right? Every day of rest for the Rangers is another day for Hedl to ramp up, get inch closer and closer and closer to being part of this team in round two. Where would you say he's at? Like, where would you, like, when would you expect to see him?
I mean, if you're going to do it. I had this conversation with Colby today on our show, and I'm usually old school in the terms of don't change a winning lineup. You know, the Rangers just won 4 straight. They swept. They've been playing pretty well.
It's different though when it's like top 6 guy. Yeah,
I agree. It's different. And if Hedl's coming in, like Rempe's coming out. In my mind,
I think that's fine.
Yeah, And I think, you know, and I debated it this morning, like, playing the Hurricanes is different than playing the Bruins or the Panthers. I think the Hurricanes are the fastest north-south team in the Eastern Conference right now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in speaking with Matt Barzal after game 4 and hearing from the Islanders, because I covered the Islanders games 3 and game 4, and I thought the Islanders actually could have won both those games.
Yeah, no shit. Like, that series could be 3-0 lead.
That was game 2. That series could be 3-1 Islanders right now. But Barzal, who's one of the best skaters in the NHL, said, this is the tightest checking series I've ever played in. It is very tight out there. The Rangers need to put their fastest lineup together to play against Carolina. And Filip Hedl is probably one of the fastest forwards that they have. So in my opinion, I think there's a little bit more incentive to play him right now. And if you put him in a game one, there's no sacrifice as opposed to letting him wait it out and putting him in a game 3, game 4. If you play him in game one, the feel out game, and you could sense something's off, you can make adjustments after. But if you play him in game 1 and he does well, you just kind of ride it. I really don't know what the right decision is, and that's why I'm not a coach in the NHL.
Yeah.
But,
it's really hard. And I want to hear Avery's opinion.
Avery's
too.
Quiet today. What's going on?
Yeah, but no, it really is hard to kind of gauge these types of decisions, right? Like, what if I don't want to do hypotheticals. I don't want Avery to get mad at me, but like, let's just say the Rangers are 2-2 game 4. Hedl hasn't come back yet. Right. It's like, how do you make the decision as the series progresses to throw this guy out there blind? Like, he hasn't gotten the type of competition in months that, you know, like practice is one thing, but like being in the game against a fast, fast team like Carolina, it does stuff to you. So like, how's he gonna, I don't know. I want to hear your thoughts, Avery.
Yeah. I'm just trying to keep the flow of the podcast. You know, don't want to interrupt people, but
we're just giving you a hard time.
I have a thought after. I didn't want to interrupt though.
Philip Hedl, I think, listen, we know what he can do. We know he would really help this team if we put him back in the lineup. I just don't know what the situation is. It's so weird. You're obviously not going to get much from the Rangers about it. And are they using it as like a decoy? I genuinely don't know because they haven't.
There's
shown
no way, bro. There's just no way. Who's I'm not even trying to be a dick. Like what team that's a juggernaut is afraid of Philip Hedl?
But he's an extremely impactful player when he's in the lineup. I just genuinely don't know what they're going to do with him and what the plan is. So I don't want to make a hypothetical, but I think Johnny had the best answer in that you play him game one and it's really like no harm, no foul. I mean, you obviously want to take game one in your own building, but if
that's not throwing him into a fire, you know?
Right. Must win situation or whatever. I think there's not enough information to say what I want them to do, but what I think they should do is what Johnny said and try him in game one and see what happens.
Yeah. Also, dude, think about the fucking crowd. Game one, Philip Hedl comes out, announced as a starter. Like, come on, the place goes fucking nuts.
Yeah.
You know they wouldn't announce it.
Let him do a FOGO, face off, get off. Just let the crowd cheer.
You know they wouldn't announce it too until like right before game, like right when
he's playing.
Up until the minute they need to announce lines, that's when they'll tell you Philip Hedl's playing. Like, they're not going to give any cards away prior to that. There's just no way.
So that's the point I wanted to make. Mikhail Sergachev plays for Tampa in game four after we saw his leg basically snap in half. And John Cooper kept that pretty much under wraps the entire time. And I'm not saying, like, you know, he was the savior in game four for them, but, you know, he didn't look like himself. Yeah, but he didn't look like himself fully. But he was effective enough to make a difference, you know, and I think I'm not comparing that to a head injury, but, you know, throwing Sergachev in there after not playing a game since whenever that game against Tampa was back in, I think, February.
You just said something that brought up a really good point, right? You said Sergachev wasn't full, right? He wasn't 100%. So, like,
Is Hedl 80% better than someone's 100%? Is that what you're saying?
No, because I have to believe what Hedl's gone through, the Rangers would not put him out unless they truly believe he's 100%. Like, I don't think they're going to put out a 70% Hedl knowing there's a possibility, even if it's slight, that he'll get hurt again. I just don't think it will happen. So I really think, like, if we see this guy and the fact that he's skating is great, for all we know, like Avery said, like, I don't think it's a decoy, but I think it could be a morale boost. Like, you don't know. But what I will say is, like, if he plays, he's going to be 100%. Like, at least he's going to feel 100%. Like, they're not going to throw this kid out at 75, 25, or even 80, 20. I just don't think they'd do it to him after what he's went through this year.
I agree. And that was well said. Also, I want to take a second to shout out Melon. They're not officially a sponsor just yet. Next Monday, it kicks in, but they sent us three very comfortable hats. Tampa just scored. Big goal. Wow.
Wow.
Dude, that series is not over. But big shout out, Melon. Sent us some nice hats, nice lids. We'll have a code for you guys next week. Very comfortable, very cool, very stylish, very active type of hat, I guess.
So I want to say something about Melon. Yeah. So I have a Melon hat. I've had one for like 2 years. It's been through 7 bachelor parties, Lake Travis 3 times. Okay. Dunked in the lake, hat's still in perfect condition. Worked out in it hundreds of times. This Melon hats are like literally indestructible. They're unbelievable for working out, for just partying, for hanging with your loved ones, whatever you need. Big Melon fan here.
Yeah.
I've been wearing hats my entire life. And now that I have shorter hair, sometimes it's hard to find a hat that looks good when you have shorter hair. And when I've never worn a Melon hat ever. And I put it on for the first time and immediately you can tell how well structured it is in the front. And then another thing that always is like a big pet peeve with me of hats is how my forehead feels under the hat. And it's so comfortable. Mm-hmm. Like it doesn't even feel like it's on my head, but it also feels super snug at the same time. It's just a great hat. And I'm really happy that they're coming on as a sponsor because I love hats.
Yeah. Yep. And we'll have a code for you guys next Monday.
Big hat guys.
Dude, and this color's so sick, man. Like the Rangers royal blue. I wore it at the office today. Everyone was gushing over it. We gotta talk to our friends at Mellon about AJ and Alex. These guys have been wearing Mellon their entire lives. I walk in with a Mellon hat and they're freaking out.
They're dying.
Yeah. We might need to get them.
Any final thoughts before we kind of go into fan questions? Do you guys have any topics you wanted to bring up?
I'm sure we'll get into it with fan questions. I do want to talk with you guys. Preview a little bit for the second round. I mean, you know, obviously we don't know who our opponent is yet, but I think we can all use our imaginations, but I'm sure we got a bunch of questions about that. So
it was just so nice. It was so nice to see Panarin score, guys. I don't know about you, but this whole series, I really just wanted Panarin to be great and to show that he is the X factor of this team that he was all season, and to get the game winning goal, like, felt so good.
Say what you will about Panarin's past playoffs, I had zero doubt in my mind he's gonna have a very good playoffs this year. I mean, he's just different this year. Like, he's always been
120 points.
it was actually he's always been, you know, a game-breaking talent and somebody who picks up the rest of the team, but obviously this year he's just gone above and beyond. But one guy I wanted to talk about who has really gotten a lot of shit from fans throughout the year was Mika. And
I thought you were gonna say this guy,
no, Rosevic's my boy. Mika has 7 points in 4 games and he's leading our team. Okay. And even though he only has one goal, he played a really, really good series. And I think he was noticeable every shift. And, you know, say what you will about the Caps, but I really think this is a very, very good building series for Mika. And I think we could see, you know, 2022, 2021. Well, I guess we weren't in the playoffs 2021, but 2022 playoffs, Mika. And I'm excited to kind of see where he takes it.
1,000%. That was actually a question I had. I don't know if this came up in the fan questions, but what would you say was your biggest surprise of the first round, whether it's an individual player or something in general?
I mean, Ovi not having a point, I think is
yeah, that's fair. I meant Rangers focus, but that's okay. That's a good one too. No, that's a good one.
Rangers focus.
Surprise wise, I just getting the sweep done, man. Just no sweat, nothing. Taking care of business.
Goal was called off, by the way.
It feels, and I've been saying it all year. Team of destiny. They're just getting it done. They're not making a sweat. They look like the real deal.
Yeah,
I've been saying it all year, and now in the playoffs, like, This team, I don't think I'm going to see a better team for a long time for the Rangers. And I think that when they're down or when anything could be in doubt, I just say they're going to get it done. And they have every step of the way so far. So it's fun to watch and exciting to see.
Yeah. And that's a great point. And I think for me, if we're going Rangers focused, just the way this D played all series. I mean, like, normally our offense does carry the D a little bit. Like, our defense makes some sloppy plays pretty much every game. Like, it happens, right? I thought our D, like, outside of that one really bad Trouba pass in game 4, like, our D played unbelievable all 4 games. I thought just incredibly sound, and I'm here for it.
Yeah. I'm going to say mine is the play of the fourth line, Barclay Goodrow. Stepped up. Jimmy Vesey played great. Matt Rempe under control, composed. Like, that fourth line was effective, and you need that if you're going to go on a run. And I was a little bit surprised at the production, not at how they played, but the production that they brought. That was
my how about also the fact that Rempe controlled himself and just didn't. I'm agreeing with you. I'm saying amazing.
And I also know you guys. You know, you ragged on Kako a little bit this year, and the third line, I think this is probably the craziest stat besides the Ovechkin one. The third line was not out there for a goal against in this series.
And they, did they just have that one goal?
Cowboys they only had one goal. Yeah.
Yeah. But still, you want to talk about defensively. You want to talk about defensively. That's what you need out of your third, fourth
line. Dude,
what have
I been saying?
Yeah. And just because they're not putting up all the points on the board doesn't mean they're not effective. And that goes to show they weren't out there for a single goal against, which is insane. Rangers ended up with 11.4 expected goals versus the Capitals 8.3. I really think the Rangers just dominated and showed off their talent in this one.
Agreed. And the last thing I'll say, and then we can move on, is like the versatility. I mean, like we didn't have to leave it to our top three or four guys to carry us through the series. We literally had 10 guys who were dropping like everybody was contributing. And I haven't seen that as a Rangers fan in, I can't even remember. Like I literally, even in 2014, I don't think I saw that. I mean, in 2014, I know Zouk led our team, but you know, it's just a good sight to see. So
that power play goal, Panarin's goal, might have been the smoothest power play goal I've seen in a long time. Just the way they moved the puck, it was like bang, 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 and it was in the net.
The Keandre goal was insane too. It was just tic-tacked out.
Four-handed one.
Yeah, it was so sick.
Great play. But I have a fan question. We have a lot.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Lot.
All right.
So Perry Kunivelis first, top three most impactful players from that series. Kind of what we're talking about right now. But
top three?
Yeah.
Vincent Trocheck.
Yeah, he's a lock.
Number one, two, Igor.
Yeah, lock.
And then
three, you can pick your poison.
Cody's.
I'd probably go Mika. Right? Yeah, three.
I'm going Keandre Miller.
It's a good one.
I'm going Keandre Miller. Mika would be four. I mean, it's so tough. Like so many people contributed. I just think I really do think Keandre, normally what Fox's role does for this team, I think Keandre did it this whole series. And not that Fox played bad, because he didn't by any means, but I really think Keandre was the dude who stood out to me every single game from RD. So
fair. I mean, I think Vinny is the lock, right? Trocheck was
unreal. I mean, Igor too. Igor's a lock.
Yeah. But Vinny, what, three goals, three assists, four assists, three assists?
Yeah, three.
I mean, power play, shorthanded, 5-on-5. Like, Vinny did everything in that series. Like, he was awesome.
Yeah, they interviewed Lavi in between, I think, the second and third period last night, and he was just talking about Vinny Trocheck's game and the fact that they can use him everywhere and how effective he is. It's just been so fun to watch.
He touches every part of the game. Laviolette's been saying that for the past couple of weeks. Like, he is the guy. Like, he's the first one out the door. Next one, Te_Shiv. Avery, this is kind of to your point. Kako getting late ice time shows Lobby's trust in him. Unrelated, lack of 5-on-5 offense, alarming.
You can go first.
Yeah, I love that Kako's finally getting the chance to do his thing and play really good defensive hockey. He obviously got rewarded with the turnover and the first goal in game four. But overall, I think he's just been such a solid defensive player. That stat that I said before just goes to show, man, like no goals against in the series. His impact on the ice isn't all about what's on the score sheet, right? Mm-hmm. And then, sorry, what was the 5v5?
There's lack of 5-on-5 scoring.
Was there? How many?
It didn't seem like it. We had a lot of power play goals. We had a lot of power play goals.
Let me see.
I mean, how many power play goals did we
score? We scored 15 goals total, 7 goals against.
6 power play goals?
Here's what I'll say. You get power plays.
I think 2 shorthanded goals for sure.
You get power plays more than often based on hard work, right? So typically the 5v5 work translates into getting a power play, whether it's you get hooked because you're working hard, you get high stick because you're working hard in the corners. Like, I don't really have a problem with the Rangers 5v5 play. And we talk about series to series. it's going to be a completely different look against the Canes. The Rangers might look a lot better 5v5, a lot worse on the power play because of how good the Canes' penalty kill is. It's just so different. But I think that overall, the 5v5 play wasn't a concern. It didn't feel like it at any point, really.
Mm-hmm. All right, next one we'll go with Chris is neck deep. That one always killed me. Remember when people wanted Quick to be the starter when Igor had his slump? Igor has hands down been the best goalie in the playoffs. Tears of joy.
What's the question?
There's no question. I think it's just a comment. But
couldn't agree more, Chris.
Yeah.
Couldn't agree more.
Swayman's been better, but we'll give Igor his flowers for sure.
You know what, though? Maybe he's been better in terms of not letting in goals, but like in terms of...
Isn't that what goalie is?
Yes, but I think Igor's made some fucking insane saves.
Yeah, for sure.
Swayman's been pretty chalk. I mean, the Leafs are trash. So are the Caps, though. But
he's held their power play to like 1-for-14. Swayman.
I want to play Boston so bad in the Eastern Conference Final. Just to fucking body them in five.
Fun as fuck. Anthony Governale 19. What was your favorite moment in this series and why?
Bro, I'm sorry. We got to pause one second.
Chat?
Bro. Yeah. They're just destroying Johnny for no reason.
They're nonstop because I'm not answering their texts right now about this little recording.
Alex just goes, "Hey Johnny, you ever see a titty in your life?" Okay, we can get back to it. Sorry.
Yeah,
it keeps popping up on my computer, and I'm just like, "Oh my god."
I'm gonna say mine was the Rempe goal. Like I was just fucking sitting there laughing my ass off at everyone who was like, "This guy doesn't belong in a playoff game," blah blah, like all that crap. And the guy scores the first goal of the series. Like it was just, to me, it was poetic. Like it was perfect. I couldn't contain my laughter in that moment.
I think either that or maybe Keandre's shorthanded goal. Mm-hmm. Yeah, either of the shorthanded goals, even Goodrow's, like those were just so sick. The fact
I don't know if we had a defining moment in this series, right?
Yeah, I don't really think so. I think
honestly, maybe the Panarin hit on Oshie.
Yeah, anything Matt Rempe did. He was just so awesome, man. And I think that one the goal stands above anything else.
I just love that Rempe, he's just having fun out there. He's just having fun out there, laughing things off. Like Wilson's trying to fight with him and he's just like laughing in his face. It's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Next one. This is interesting. This is from Veronica B42. New name here. I haven't seen her before. What's an important skill set that the Rangers have that trumps Carolina in? To me, it's pretty fucking even, honestly. Like these teams match up really well against one another. If there's anything that I could say that the Rangers might have an advantage of, it's the amount of talent. Goaltending too, but Freddie Anderson's been really good. You got to give Freddie.
Yeah, but I mean, he's not Igor.
But he's been right there. He has like.
What's the?
I'm not saying I'm taking him over Igor, but like, I think the Rangers' talent throughout the lineup is definitely better than Carolina's talent throughout their lineup. Like they have good, solid pieces, but the Rangers have overall better talent.
I mean. Listen, don't get me wrong. The Canes are a very, very good team. the fact that they have Kuznetsov on their fourth line is a little scary. Their top line is for sure scary. Like their top line is scary good.
Next one.
Yeah, I was just gonna say I don't feel like they don't have a lot of individual superstar talent, in my opinion. I think they're more just a superstar team. When you put everything, all their pieces together, they're just such a great hockey team. You know, you have the Ahos and the Svechnikovs of the world, but other than that, like I think that they're just such a good team together, and I think that's what makes them scary. But yeah, I'm taking Igor over Anderson any day of the week. The Rangers decor I think is better, but the forward lines, you know, you can be a little bit interchangeable there. I think that Carolina's really deep, but I still think the Rangers take care of them.
So this next one's kind of interesting. We already talked about the first part, but it's two-parter. Mike_D92, who was the MVP of the series and who do we need to see more from in the next round? So the second part to me is a little bit more interesting than the first part because we've talked about the MVP, but I think, and this is going to hurt me to say it, but I think Lafreniere was a little quiet.
Yeah, he wasn't really showing.
Cody, you're muted.
Your mic's off, but he wasn't really showing his confidence like he was in the regular season. He wasn't carrying the puck over as much. I would like to see more. It's not that he wasn't doing.
Yeah, I don't think he played bad. He just didn't like have, you know, they're in the regular season, like he had 3 to 5 prime scoring chances a game. It felt like.
Right.
I mean, dude, he did have like, I think 5 shots in game 4 or game 3.
Yeah, but I'm saying like, you know, plays where it's like, whoa, Lafreniere looks fucking good. You know, there wasn't really many of those.
Yes, but like, I hate to say this, but he didn't need to. I mean,
no, I know. Well, but the question is like, who do we need to see more of? And it's to me like, you know, Trocheck played great.
To me, it's Fox. I mean, to me, it's a no brainer.
You think so?
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Dude, I thought he was really
good. Foxy is like, dude, he's a guy. Listen, he had a good series. Don't get me wrong, but like. When we're playing Carolina, if we're playing Carolina, we're going to need Adam Fox to be Adam Fox and just dangle, dominate, vision, like make play. Like I didn't see any play, you know, he maybe had one insane play like all series. Mm-hmm. Like that's a nightly thing for Adam Fox. And we'll get
some motivation from the booze and stuff because you know he's going to get it every time he steps in.
Oh,
that's
true too.
So.
Yeah. And also how about the.
I thought you meant alcohol for a second. I was like, he's not fucking boozing.
How about the all ex Rangers line too? The pair, fucking D'Angelo, Shea.
And Shea. Yeah. Avery, any thought on that?
Yeah, no, I agreed with you on Lafreniere. I think that he's probably. I can't really think of maybe Trouba too. Mm-hmm. Other than that,
he blocked a lot of shots too, though. Like Trouba does a lot of little things that go unnoticed.
Yeah. 100%. My issue with Trouba is I actually thought he had a fine series. Like, I thought he played okay. But my issue with him is, like, he's too much of a vet to just make dumb mistakes, like, in crucial positions in games that we have to win, like, especially when it comes to the playoffs. And I don't like when he does that. And he does that every year in the playoffs. Every year he just makes a stupid mistake that he doesn't think passes center ice to the other team, shit like that. He needs to clean that shit up.
All right, we'll do a couple more because we have a lot here. Next one from Lindsay Egan. Do you guys trust this team to close out games rather than previous teams? Great question. It's a tough question too, though, because I don't think there was ever a lack of trust with Henrik. Not that there is with these teams, but for whatever reason, I want to say I'm less stressed, but I was more confident in the Henrik teams, if that makes sense, because
respectfully couldn't disagree more.
Really?
Yes. Couldn't disagree more. And I'll tell you why, because the Henrik teams, yes. Not comparing Henrik to Igor, both phenomenal goalies, Hank's an all timer. This team, I feel so much more confident if we're down in a game or if we're up in a game, they can finish the game. They're just better all around. Depth is stronger. And you know,
well, the question is closing out games. So you're like up one.
You know, sure. Up two. Okay. If we're up,
if we're down, I'm way more confident in this team than Henrik teams. We're way better offensively.
If we're up three, it's a one-goal game
with 3 minutes left.
Dude, I trust Schneider, Keandre, Fox, and Lindgren more than I did Hank's 2014 defense.
Yeah. I mean, how could you not be? They haven't given us a reason to yet.
Yeah.
But like that
team. Yeah, Johnny.
But that team closed out games too. Like when did the Rangers really like let up a last?
But they did, but they never won anything. So how could you not, the no, this team?
That's why it's a good question. It's
yeah,
just,
no, it's a great question.
That's why I said, like,
yeah.
I said
I feel more confident in this team. I really do.
I'm less stressed, but I was just I never thought Henrik was going to let up that goal. Not that I'm saying this team is, but I was always like I was stressed, but I was confident. This team, I'm not like
sure. But the difference is. During the Hank era, if we were up 3-2, and if you're telling me you didn't do this, you're lying. You were standing the entire time on the edge of your seat, shitting your pants. The entire time we were up by one goal, you were on the edge of your seat, freaking out, because even though you trusted Hank, you knew it could happen. Like our team, you know, when we were playing like Tampa in 2015 in the Eastern Conference Finals, like I just remember hating Stamkos and Tyler Johnson. I remember hating them because they were just so good at the time. And it's just like, we didn't have that. We just didn't have that. And we do now.
Dude, the game 7 against Pittsburgh in 2014, that was the most like jumping up and down, biting,
down 3-1,
biting your nails. But the game 7, it was like a one goal game. And Pittsburgh threw fucking everything. And you had Girardi face first blocking shots, Stahl, like McDonough, all these guys.
Stuck in Henrik's jersey. Like,
yeah, it was I don't want to say there was like, say what you want about the decor now versus that decor. This decor does sacrifice and put their body on the line. But like the Stahl, Girardi,
McDonough,
those guys were fucking nails.
But the difference is they let the other team take a million shots. Our guys take that shit away and score.
That's why I said I'm less stressed with this team. But like that team got it fucking done. This is a great question. Good question.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic question. And I agree with Cody right now.
I don't really think there's a right answer.
No, there is.
Yeah, my answer could change in 2 weeks. So
yeah, but like I guess the one example we have from this team right now was it game two? Yeah, game two, where the Capitals, the Rangers failed to clear the puck like five times. And if that's a different team.
I've said this the entire series. Like, I do not think this was the Rangers' best series by any mean. No, but at the same time, I was never nervous. Yeah. But I think, and this is what I was saying to Avery when I was making fun of him, like game two, you know, he was shitting on me. Like, don't worry about the next series. But like now we're here. And like what they just did against the Caps, like they need to elevate their game to beat a Carolina team who's a lot more talented. So I just think going into this series, like the Rangers know they need to be better and they will be. They will be.
Yeah.
Next one from Bobby Christ One. Way too early Conn Smythe predictions. There's a lot of options right now. I don't know if this is Rangers only, but you know, I think of Swayman and Marchand for Boston. They've been lights out.
I don't even want to jinx anything. I don't even want to give a fucking Conn Smythe.
I was thinking league wide, not necessarily Ranger focused, but
no comment.
I think it'd be Trocheck right now if it's Rangers.
I will not comment.
Same. Right. I plead the fifth.
Good question though, but ask it in like a month.
2 months.
This is a question for you guys, I guess. Zach Puma, will there be a viewing party for either game one or two next round?
That's a good question. Avery's not coming back.
We could definitely do post-game stuff at American Whiskey. We should set that up.
I will be home. I'll be home on the 10th. And I will say this. Whatever game there is from the 10th, besides the 12th, is my brother's graduation, and the 18th, which is a concert I'm going to. Any other day that I'm home and there is a game, I will either be at the game or I will be at American Whiskey. So if you want to come hang out with me and you know, if it becomes more of a bigger scale thing and we set something up, we will let you guys know. But I will be in the city for every single game, whether it's at MSG or at American Whiskey.
We should set a post game thing at American Whiskey up for sure. Because I can't do pregame. I can't really do pregame stuff. Mm-hmm. Just because I have to be there like 2 hours early.
Yeah.
But post game stuff, I'm very down.
You're only doing home though, right?
I'm going to try. I actually think I'm going to pay out of pocket and go to Carolina. I'm going to go. I want to be there every step of the way. And DFO doesn't cover my travel, but like, I don't want to miss out on anything. You know, it's what? Cody, why don't you sponsor me, dude?
I already said I will, dude.
Yeah. All right. We got, you guys did great this week with questions, fan questions. I mean, there's so many to pick from and a lot of creative ones too. So I don't want to go to the ones that are like pretty basic, but I don't think we've talked about this specifically. I know we mentioned it a little bit, but would you put Hedl as the third line center, even though third line has been fantastic? That's from Ryan Boyle.
That's a really good question.
He goes in for Wenberg. Wenberg goes down. Redby comes out. Gaudreau goes to wing.
Yeah. I mean, the other option, right, is you put him first on the line. Top line, but like Roz is playing so well. Like you can't mess that up unless you go stagnant.
Plus, you don't really want to move Roslovic because he's one of the faster guys on the team. And with Carolina, you need as much speed as you can get. Rempe is the slowest guy probably right now.
My issue with that is Wenberg is so phenomenal defensively. And he's just
you put him on the fourth line.
But he's just not going to get as much. He's not going to get as much ice time. You know, when he's, you know, if an Aho is driving down the ice and we need what?
You're not putting Hedl on the fourth line, though.
I mean, to start him out, I don't think it's the worst idea. Like, I don't think it's the worst idea. The guy hasn't played in 3 months.
Three, dude, six.
Six, whatever it is.
November 2nd was the last day, bro. Avery and Pop.
Bench him. Oh, okay.
Is he muted? He's muted. Is he on the phone?
Dude, yeah, he's such a loser.
Sorry, that was Team Paul.
Just Team Paul? Sorry, bro.
Team Paul. Yeah, no, that I have to take that call.
No, you're good. You're good.
Was that Jake, dude?
No, it was Brandon, who's like also – I mean, Jake was there, but yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
We were just asking, why is Jake's hair so long right now? What's he up to?
Oh, it's a thing.
All right, let's do two more. This one's interesting. This is from a league-wide perspective. Willie White 17, LFGR, !! All caps. That's for Cody for sure. Which team is most likely to come back from 3-1 in these playoffs? I said the Nashville Predators. That was me. I said Predators. He didn't say that.
I think Tampa.
Tampa?
Yeah.
Dave?
Yeah. It's so – I mean, we lived through it. Amalie Arena, if you give those guys hope and that roster is still so good – Man, if they win tonight, they might win the series.
Everything changes. Everything changes if they win tonight.
0-0 right now after the first as we're recording in that game.
I'm very sad that Winnipeg is down 3-1. I was really, really hoping that was going to be a series, but I think the Avs are probably going to beat them in five. Yeah. It sucks, but it is what it is. Tough.
Hell about
That next round is going to be insane. If it's whoever it is, it's going to be nuts.
And Edmonton basically has a fucking, not a cakewalk, but they got either Nashville or Vancouver. Like Edmonton's.
What's
going
the Edmonton out, series at?
No, it's going to be Vancouver, obviously. Don't overlook Vancouver. I mean, don't overlook Vancouver. They had a hell of a season. And
Demko's done.
I forgot he got hurt. Yeah. Oh, God, dude.
They won three games with three different goalies.
I totally forgot he just got hurt. Oh, yeah.
And the Predators were the better team in both those games. They let a 3-1 lead slip away in the last 3 minutes.
Yeah, dude.
The Edmonton series is interesting because it hasn't felt like they're up 3-1. Like the games
they played like shit last night.
Yeah, they won 1-0 last night. Yeah.
But they got dominated, too. Like, L.A. deserved that game last night. I was up watching the whole thing. But, L.A. played their best possible game. Like, that's so dejecting. When you play as good as the Kings played last night and you don't even score a goal and you don't come away with a win, that fucking takes the wind out of your sails. That is tough.
When was the last time Edmonton had a shutout in the playoffs?
Dude, I cannot remember once.
They haven't had a good goalie in 12 years.
Exactly, dude. Yeah.
All right, last one from Christian Iski. Who's the Rangers' biggest threat, or who is the biggest threat to the Rangers' chances of winning the East? Florida Panthers.
I think it's the Canes. I think the Canes are better than the Panthers. I think in a seven game series, I think the Canes beat the Panthers.
I don't think so.
I think so.
That's fair,
dude. Hypothetical.
What did I say? I said it's all hypothetical, but I think, listen.
Panthers are a very good team, but I don't know. I mean, Canes are right now Vegas odds are the cup favorites. It's bizarre. Dude,
which is so dumb that the Canes opened up -140, Rangers +120 on DraftKings.
But they're the cup favorites. The cup favorites. It's crazy.
I know, but it's so weird. I just think Florida top to bottom, man. They got Bob and Ned. They got great defense. They have so many playoff performers. Tkachuk is a pain in the ass to play against. That team, because we haven't seen them yet. I think that's really what scares me the most about them is we haven't seen how they would match up against us, and that is what would make me fear them the most. But yeah, I mean, Carolina's scary too. They're a great team. They're gonna want revenge from when we beat them. So it's a lot.
I think on paper, Boston's a really bad matchup for the Panthers. I think on paper, Boston matches up against them really well. And I could see that being a long series that goes seven and could be a shootout either way.
I don't know if I agree.
Bro, the Rangers just need to win 12 more games, man. Just 12. That's it, dude.
And they only have to go through the Canes, probably the Panthers, and then one of the Oilers, Avalanche, Vegas, or Stars. It's all groovy, baby.
All right, boys. Any final thoughts before we wrap it up? We don't really know, I guess, when our next pod will be, depending on schedule and stuff. So
yeah, we're probably not gonna record. We're not gonna record once the Canes advance, but we'll probably record right.
If the Islanders come back and win, maybe we will. But
never say never. But I guess after game one would be like our first pod.
Or prior. I mean depending on any lineup changes or anything.
Yeah.
What are you guys doing this weekend?
That's a good question. I have no plans.
That is a good question, dude. It's Monday. You have your plans ready?
Yeah, I'm going to Formula One.
Oh, that's sick. That's gas.
I got nothing lined up. I'm going to the Canuck on Thursday. That's something I've got planned.
Yeah, that's a good one. Nice. Good spot. What are you doing there?
Oh, it's Julie Stewart Bank's birthday. She's having her birthday there to watch some hockey and hang out and shit. Sick, so shout out, Julie.
Also, shout out Tony.
Have brunch on Sunday. Hell yeah.
Nice. Shout out Tony from the Normandy Shores Golf Club.
Dude, those were sick. The clubs.
Yeah. Well, no, that's Stratton Haley. So my buddy, when I was working at Barstool for 51 Strokes, he made a club for Caleb. Long story short, him and I became friends, and he made me a set, my last set, and then I asked for a new one this year because they were getting old, and I wanted to do some Ranger stuff. And then I posted it yesterday, and then I get a reply on the tweet from the guy who worked in the pro shop. He didn't say anything to me beforehand, but then he was like, hey, you know, love the pod, this and that. So shout out Tony. That was awesome.
Hey, that's dope. Tony.
Love
That's
it. Dope. I have a fitting in a week and a half.
Awesome. I'm sure the people at home really want to hear that.
They do. Johnny, you golf?
Also, shout out Melon, baby. These hats are sick.
Johnny, you golf?
Nah, I pickleball. I pickleball, fam. I don't fucking golf, dog.
You don't pickleball, bro. You roller skate. Let's get real.
I do skate, but I also pickle. Send it off.
Smoke you, bro. LFGR.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.